Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you both to the program. Leif, we're going to start with you. Your opening thoughts on how Palestinians must feel about this. Here's a war criminal that has orchestrated the wholesale slaughter of your people for over 17 months, actually had an arrest warrant issued for him, and you have this prospect, this hope now, of some kind of level of accountability, and here he is traveling freely to Hungary, a country helping him evade that very accountability.
Well, this is not the first Western government or country that Netanyahu has visited since the issuing of the ICC arrest warrants. But this is the first country that says that they will be withdrawing from the ICC to protect Netanyahu and the Zionist colony in general. But we know, of course, that Netanyahu already visited the United States and visited other European countries before Hungary. One thing that we should getting from this is to understand that international law and the international agencies that govern international law since World War II are right now at the edge of collapse. We are living the same moment after World War I, when the League of Nations made colonization illegal, and the French and the British got the colonization light in the form of the mandate over Syria and Jordan and Palestine and Iraq and Lebanon, and that triggered Germany, Italy, and Japan to refuse the League of Nations and the international law that existed then because they wanted to colonize. Right now, we're living the same moment where the United States and the Western countries and Israel think that they have the right to colonize, occupy, kill, genocide, loot other nations, and they're refusing to abide by international law and the United Nations regulations. Therefore, both international law and the United Nations are right now at the edge of collapse, and there is no such thing as international law in reality.
And Leith, the exact thing that Viktor Orban, the Hungarian Prime Minister, said, he said it is no longer an impartial court, the ICC obviously, not a court of law, but a political court. And this is most clearly shown by the decisions regarding Israel. And he said, we think that a democratic rule of law state with any self-respect, such as Hungary, will not participate and cannot participate in an international court operating on the basis of political motives. Please tell me one politically motivated resolution or arrest warrant or adjudication carried out by the ICC against Israel that was unjustified or politically motivated for that fact.
Well, clearly the ICC had issued arrest warrants against President Putin of Russia. It had issued arrest warrants against African leaders and had arrested some of them. Therefore, either it is political, the choice of arresting or trying to arrest President Putin or African presidents, or it's not political. You can't have it both ways. And what we have seen is that the West has used the international law and international agencies for the last 80 years to its benefit. And finally, now that there is enough countries in the world to push the United Nations and the international courts to be just an equal treatment to the rest of humanity, we see now the West withdrawing from it. The statements from President Orban of Hungary is not unique. We had members of the Parliament of the UK issue also statements saying the ICC does not apply to Israel and that the ICC is being politicized. We hear the same thing from the United States, who is threatening the lives of those who work at the ICC. So, President Orban of Hungary is just, carrying on in the same process that the United Kingdom and the U.S. have already started of undermining international law and the International Criminal Court and the international agencies that govern relations between states since World War II.
And you mentioned we're seeing a crumbling How bad is this, the precedent that this all sets, the selective application of who gets adjudicated under international law, who gets sanctioned? I mean, you carry out a genocide, you don't see a single sanction. Then you have a country like Iran or Russia with over 1,600 sanctions hanging over their heads. How bad is this for the international legal order to have this kind of a selective administration of law?
Well, we have all watched together a genocide being committed for the last 17 months, and it's getting worse and worse and more brazing, the genocidal actions of the Israelis, because they have not had to deal with any consequences for their genocidal actions. So the truth of the matter is, right now, international law does not exist. International law, even before the committing of this genocide, was always de jure, de facto, not de jure. Meaning, can you bring it into fact? Do we have the force to bring it into fact? And up until now, the nations in our region here have not been able to enforce international law on those who violated against us. And therefore, it's never been applied to us to save us, to protect our rights. And right now, the choices in front of us are to survive by fighting back, or to watch our nations being destroyed by the powerful armies of the United States and its vassals, and nobody's going to stop them. International law is not going to stop them. It's never saved anybody, international law, only force. And therefore, Iran and the Palestinians and the Yemen and Lebanon all have to arm themselves to the teeth and prepare themselves for the violations of international law that are going to come, because nobody is stopping the West from these violations.
Thank you, Laith. I'd like to also welcome now Mr. Asad Abu Sharq. Welcome to the conversation, our spotlight program here, Mr. Abu Sharq. Your initial thoughts, please, sir, on the story. Hungary, as a signatory to the Rome Statute, is legally bound to comply with the ICC rulings. So what benefit do these countries and certain leaders derive from Tel Aviv and Washington that justifies them turning their backs on morality, on justice for the women and children of Gaza?
To tell you the truth, nothing. To tell you the truth, nothing justifies what Hungary is doing. But there is now, we are witnessing the new world disorder, which is led by the Americans, of course, by Trump. And this word a new world disorder punishes the victim and rewards the criminal. And this is what they are doing. They are actually rewarding the criminal, rewarding Netanyahu, because Hungary wants to appease the Americans and wants to have, because of have economic relations with Americans and with the Israelis. And there is not much pressure from the Arabs or Muslims or the Europeans. And so as far as Hungary, because Hungary, nobody is going to bring, even though they, were signatory to International Criminal Court, but 2 days ago, I think, or yesterday, or even today, they withdraw their signature. And because they feel that they are doing that and with impunity, and nobody can bring them to account, and nobody can bring Netanyahu to account, and nobody can bring America to account. So the whole world is in a total case of chaos. And then, this is why this man is supporting and giving or receiving Netanyahu, and probably he is probably going to give him not only this, not only just to welcome him, probably he will give him more than that, not only the political stand, probably weapons as well to kill more Palestinians and to increase the genocide, to scale up, to escalate the genocide against the Palestinians, being supported, of course, by Trump and by Arab, and by the inability, incapability, and by the submission of the Arab and the Muslim world, and all other nations. So we are witnessing what's happening to the Palestinians could happen anyway to any country in the world, especially to the Arabs and Muslims. And unfortunately, the Palestinians are being led down by their neighbors and by the Muslim world and by the Arab world and by Europe and by those people who claim and that they are for democracy, for justice, for peace, for human rights. And it, things are proven, they are not for justice, not for democracy, not unless it is for white supremacist people. Yes?
Right. And Laith, I'm glad Mr. Abushak mentioned that. Okay, so Hungary to basically initiate leaving the ICC, which it has, according to the foreign minister of the Netherlands, Kasper Veldkamp, which hosts the ICC, I should say, said today that until its withdrawal from the ICC is complete, which takes about a year, Hungary must still meet its obligations. So this can easily turn Laith into an arrest warrant for Viktor Orban himself, can't it? I mean, which may possibly be the only way to make this thing work. If, because as a founding member of the ICC, Hungary has certain obligations that it cannot thwart, at least for the next year or so. And if we hold leaders that try to use this route of getting out of the ICC, but are somewhat committed legally, are bound to respect the ICC's obligations for a year, they could be setting themselves up for basically trouble.
Who is going to arrest him?
That was for Laith, Mr. Abushak. Mr. Abushak, yes. Let me get
who
that to Laith. One second, Mr. Abushak. That was for Laith, and I'm going to come right back to you. Go ahead, Laith.
I mean, he is right. Who is going to arrest either Orban or Netanyahu? Netanyahu has already visited France, Germany, and the UK since this arrest warrant, and nobody arrested him there. So it would be actually really funny to see countries in the EU that have already hosted Netanyahu try to take it out on Orban and Hungary. And obviously, there is a battle within Europe, and Hungary is on one side of that battle, and France and Germany on the other side. So we may see these, spats between the EU members, but ultimately, there is no way that a sitting prime minister of a European country will be targeted by the ICC and the Netherlands for arrest. I think that's fantastical. It's a parallel reality. And the thing that is more realistic is that the EU members, including Hungary, will continue to supply the Zionist colony with weapons, with finances, and with protection for continuing its genocide.
Thank you, Mr. Abushak. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead. And before, let me get this, read this quick thing for our viewers and for yourself that I would like you to comment on. The Israeli Minister of Foreign Affairs, Gideon Saar, today, he praised Hungary and his Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, on social media for what he called taking a strong moral stance by announcing his decision to withdraw from the ICC. Here's his post. PM underlined Viktor Orban, thank you and Hungary for your clear and strong moral stance alongside Israel and the principles of justice and sovereignty. Mr. Abushak, what can the Israelis and Viktor Orban teach us about morality after the wholesale slaughter of over 50,000 Palestinians?
Actually, this is the most immoral, the most indecent stand on the part of the Hungarian Prime Minister, and that shows criminals, both countries are criminals, and this is an alliance of criminals against the victims, and it shows that they have not the faintest idea about the values of human life, the values of justice, the values of nobility, the values of honor, the values of peace. All their values are based on crimes, butchery, on slaughter, killing, genocidal wars, and they have no respect for any human value, for mankind, for humanity. And that shows that Israel is an apartheid state, and Israel is a criminal state, and Israel is committing a genocide against the Palestinian people, and all at this state, settler colonial state, must be dismantled, and all its leaders, from Netanyahu to the so-called the foreign minister, defense war minister, whatever, they must be brought to court for the crimes they committed against the Palestinian people, for this Nazi-minded mentality, which kills children, imposes starvation on the Palestinian people, deprive them of water, of food, of medicine, impose a medieval siege on them, and the whole world is just watching idly by, including Hungary, America, the West, the neighbors, and everybody. So that shows the whole world should protest, should demonstrate against these people, and should bring those leaders, whether in Hungary or Israel or in America, to the criminal court of justice to be tried for the crimes they committed against the Palestinian people.
And Laith, we have to mention that Viktor Orban does not speak for all Hungarian people. In fact, he has banned, I don't know if you've heard, all pro-Palestinian rallies and protests leading up. He's stifling all Hungarian voices leading up to Netanyahu's visit, a trend that you very well know we have seen among many populations whose leaders do not support their government stance on Israel. And now we're seeing it in Hungary.
Yes, I know. The people are, you know, they demonstrate everywhere. But unfortunately, you see the leaders, political leaders, even in America, everywhere, the political. There are even demonstrations in occupied Palestine against Netanyahu. There are demonstrations, protests in support of the Palestinians all over the world. But politicians, there is, you know, who collude and who conspire against the Palestinian people. But they are the decision takers and they are the decision makers. And this is why they must be brought to accountability and to the court of justice and to the criminal court of justice, to the criminal court. And then we call upon the people not to vote for such war criminals.
And let me
say, in Hungary or in America or in Britain or in France or anywhere, because these are a threat toward peace and security, and they could lead to apocalypse and to a third world war, which
and let me put
havoc to the whole world.
And Mr. Abu Shark, please let me put that same question to Laith. Laith, because you know, Viktor Orban, he's long mirrored, along with Donald Trump, Netanyahu's authoritarian playbook, where they try to crush judicial independence, they attack civil society, crack down on protests, and do a lot of defying international law. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, there is no more freedom of speech or democracy or human rights in the West. You know, in Germany, in France, in the UK, in Canada, in the US, we see that the vast majority of the population are against the genocide that's being committed by the Zionists, are against arming the Zionists, but their politicians don't care. And in fact, no politician will represent the will of the people in Europe or North America, where, the vast majority of the population is against these war crimes and crimes against humanity. So what we are seeing right now is the fact that all of these countries in the West have adopted Zionism as their religion, as the sacred. And anyone who criticizes Zionism or the Zionist colony is considered a heretic that is going to be targeted for punishment and expulsion and deportation, as we see even EU members, Irish citizens in Germany, are being deported today because they joined demonstrations inside Germany for Palestine. So Viktor Orban is not an anomaly. He is actually the pure representation of where the rest of the European states are going to go. They're just going a little bit slower than he is. But, you know, with the arrival of Trump, it's clear that right now we live in a fascist world, Western world that is fascist. And if you cannot protect yourself militarily, be prepared to be genocided like the Palestinians.
Very well put there, Laith. Mr. Abu Shark, the regime and the U.S. Have for years made a mockery of international laws and bodies, the ICC, the ICJ, the UN General Assembly, the UN Security Council. What are the dangers these precedents set for all of us when we allow Tel Aviv and Washington, D.C. to single-handedly detonate the application of international law for everyone.
Yes, this is what's happening to Palestine could happen to any country, in the world, if the whole world keeps silent and doesn't do anything. And this is why I think the whole world should have a say in that. They should kick out America and Israel. America and Israel must be kicked out from the United Nations, from the General Assembly, from the International Court of Justice, from the International Criminal Court, from all, and they should boycott them. They should not cooperate with them politically, economically, at all levels. This is how, of course, if you isolate America, if you are isolate Israel, then they will be totally isolated by the people, and they will be powerless, and they then they cannot stand against the whole world. But if you keep investing in those countries and give them trillions, like some Arab countries, for example, and then you trade with them, and you have good relations with them, and you keep silent about their crimes, then I think they will go on until they cause havoc to the whole world, and probably the whole world will be crushed, and the whole world will be destroyed because of those criminals in Tel Aviv and in Washington.
Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us here on the program. Time has gotten the better of us. Mr. Laith Maruf there, Executive Director at Free Palestine TV, they're joining us from Lebanese capital, Beirut, and Mr. Assad Abushark, Palestinian academic and activist, joining us from Dublin. And this brings us to the end of your Spotlight program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarsi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Brothers and sisters, we have reached 76th and 7th verses of Surah An-Naml, so let's listen to these verses.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna hadha al-Qur'an yaqussu ala bani Israel akthar alladhi hum fihi yakhtalifun.
Indeed, this Quran relates to the children of Israel most of that over which they disagree.
Wa innahu lahudan wa rahmatun lilmu'minin.
And indeed, it is guidance and mercy for the believers.
So,
these verses, dear listeners, as you listen to, overall show that at the time of the advent of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the contents of Torah and the Bible, I mean the Injil, could not solve the problems and differences of the people of the book, and only the Quran, which is a dominant over the former heavenly books, has the ability to solve the discords. So solving the deep doctrinal differences, also by an uninstructed prophet who could neither read nor write, is the sign of miracle and legitimacy of the Holy Quran. So in previous holy verses, the words are about both origin and end, both this world and prior to this world and hereafter, the life of afterwards. While the verses under discussion, I mean the 76th and 7th verses, by pointing to the subject of prophethood and legitimacy of the Holy Quran, actually complete this discussion. Now, on the other side, the former verses pointed to the infinite knowledge of the Almighty Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in these verses, the subject is somehow explained more and elaborated on more. Furthermore, in those verses, the addressees were pagans, but here, the words are about other disbelievers, such as the Jews, or their differences, actually. So, anyway, at first, the verse says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَقُصُّ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ أَكْثَرَ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. Verily, this Qur'an relates to the children of Israel most of what they differ in. أَكْثَرَ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. So, the children of Israel had discords among them in many things, about Maryam, for example, about Jesus, about Prophet, whose glad tidings had been mentioned in the Torah, and that who this prophet was, and in many ordinances and religious affairs. So the Quran came and said the true matter in this field. It said Jesus introduced himself explicitly and said he was a servant of Allah who had given him a heavenly book and assigned him as a prophet. Because the Holy Quran says that he said, "Verily I am servant of Allah, He has given me the book and made me a prophet." The Holy Quran also made it clear that Jesus was born only from mother and without father. And that was not an impossible affair for Allah, because He created Adam without parents from the dust. So it would be easier to create someone without a father, only with the mother. Now, concerning the divine prophet, whose qualities are clearly mentioned in the Torah, the Quran considers that those qualifications adapt to the prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because they adapt to none but him. However, one of the missions of the Holy Quran is to struggle against the differences which have come into being because of mixing the superstitions with the true teachings of the divine prophet. So, every prophet was commanded to put an end to the discord originated from the distortions and confusions of right and wrong. We'll explain more after a short break. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. So dear listeners, as you were with us, we said that this verse, these verses actually show and prove that the contents of the Holy Quran made it possible for the people to solve their problems and differences in beliefs. Now, every prophet was commanded to finish and put an end to the discord originated from the distortions and confusions. And since the fulfillment of such an action is not possible to be done only by a literate person in the environment of ignorance, it is clear that it is from the side of the Almighty Allah. And this, interestingly, proves how important it is to consider the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam bringing the Quran as miracles, in view of the fact that struggling against any discord is the cause of guidance and mercy. The next verse, as a general principle, says about the Quran, وَإِنَّهُ لَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and verily, it is a guidance and mercy for the believers. So, yes, it is guidance. It is mercy, because the evidence of its truthfulness has lain in the magnificence of its content. The Quran is guidance and mercy, because it shows both the way and style of paving the way. The Quranic term, mu'mineen, believers, mentioned especially in this verse, is for the sake that, as was pointed out before, a person cannot enjoy this divine source unless he has a stage of faith in him. That is, he must have a receptive state for accepting the truth and submitting to Allah. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
In Al-Katiba area in northwestern Khan Yunis, which is included within the so-called safe zone and not far from the infamous Al-Mawasi area, last night the families inside this neighborhood were sleeping and suddenly a massive explosion happened that shook the entire neighborhood. This home, which belongs to Al-Aggad family, was targeted last night, killing the entire family inside this house, father, the mother, and the three little children. But not only that, because of the devastating and massive scale of the bombardment, two of the neighbors as well were killed within this airstrike that was carried by the Israeli occupation.
You can see how closely the homes are built here. We were jolted awake by a thunderous blast, only to find the remains of neighbors scattered across the streets. Our neighborhood has already borne the brunt of Israel's aggression, and now, despite being labeled as a safe zone and instructed to be sought refuge here, we are still enduring relentless bombardment.
Until this morning, the families could collect the remains of the family and the neighbors due to this brutal attack that literally turned the family inside this home into pieces. The neighbors are still cleaning the rubble, looking for any of the remains of the family that was killed here.
The attack was so intense that we thought our home had been bombed, but it was our neighbors. We are still clearing the rubble, searching for more remains of the children who were killed alongside their parents here. These innocent people did nothing to deserve such a brutal end. We call on everyone in the world to put an end to this genocide.
This is the situation inside the so-called safe zone, where the occupation is now directing the families in southern Khan Yunis and Rafah to come to. More massacres and more killing is awaiting the families here who are still subjected to this massive campaign by the occupation that doesn't seem to go any easier on the families here. Ahmed al-Najjar, Khan Yunis.
Whatever goes up must come down. A fitting theme for Yemen's military operations in support of Palestine. The armed forces of Yemen have downed yet another U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drone, an unmanned combat aerial vehicle capable of remotely control.
The Yemeni army's air defenses, with the help of Allah Almighty, were able to shoot down an American MQ-9 drone while it was carrying out hostile missions in the airspace of Al Hudaydah Governorate. The drone was downed with a locally made surface-to-air missile. This is the second drone being shot down in 72 hours and the 17th one during the operations in support of Gaza.
Yemen began its pro-Gaza operations in November 2023. Experts say the growing number of American drones being shot down by Yemen not only reflects tactical success, but signals a significant leap in the country's military capability.
The U.S. is very upset with what they have suffered in the Red Sea and Arabian Sea as Yemen continues to attack them. Moreover, Yemen will continue to advance militarily. Yemen is not satisfied with only shooting down 17 U.S. drones. In the near future, there will be more surprises that will benefit the people and armed forces of Yemen.
Amid the successful Yemeni operations, U.S. President Donald Trump has claimed that the country conducts its attacks with Iran's support, an allegation strongly denied by the Yemenis.
We will continue to support the people of Palestine. Our military success came from the preparation of our armed and air defense forces, and we will continue to counter this American aggression on our nation. We will continue to support Palestine. Iran is an ally of Yemen. However, they have no say whatsoever with regards to our wars and our military, defending our land from this U.S. aggression.
The United States launched intense airstrikes on Yemen last month after the Arab country resumed its maritime military operations in support of Palestinians in war-ravaged Gaza. The Yemeni armed forces have shot down more U.S. drones, demonstrating their growing capability to counter advanced aerial threats and sending a clear message of defiance amid ongoing aggression against their country. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
On Wednesday, a number of Italian lawmakers pressured Italy's foreign minister Antonio Tajani to finally express words of condemnation for the Israeli regime and Benjamin Netanyahu after 18 months of relentless slaughter in Gaza. Tajani answered questions on Israel's genocidal acts in the Palestine during a question time in the Senate. His words were far from condemnation for Netanyahu's heinous crimes.
Our government's position is clear. Conditions for a political dialogue must be created in order to achieve a two-state solution, but without Hamas. I will reiterate this at tomorrow's EU summit of foreign ministers.
I'm flabbergasted. Once again, you haven't been able to express a single word of condemnation for Israel's onslaught of more than 50,000 people in Gaza, many of whom are children. Gaza is razed to the ground. Minister, you haven't been able to say a single word on the one responsible for this massacre, war criminal Netanyahu.
Italy's support to Israel's genocidal operations in Gaza has been so far unconditional. In January, the Italian government told Israeli officials that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu would not be arrested under an ICC warrant were he to visit the country.
War criminal Netanyahu is slated to pay an official visit to Hungary this week following an invitation from Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán. Some Italian lawmakers have said Hungary should deny entry to Netanyahu or arrest him if he sets foot in the country.
Netanyahu's visit to Hungary is one of the many legs of the Israeli government's macabre tour of Europe. We deem Netanyahu and his government partners bloodthirsty war criminals, and unfortunately, the international community and most Western governments have failed to provide any opposition to Israel at all. We must strongly oppose the Israeli genocide by imposing sanctions on Netanyahu's government, including suspending Israel-EU association agreement.
Former EU High Representative for Foreign Affairs Josep Borrell has often insisted on convening a summit with Israel to discuss violations of human rights obligations under the EU-Israel Association Agreement. However, Borrell's successor Kaya Kallas has so far been much more obliging towards the regime than her predecessor, Max Civili, Rome.
Gaza Strip is facing a severe humanitarian crisis as Israeli blockade, now exceeding a month, continues to prevent the entry of essential aid, including food, fuel, and medical supplies.
The Gaza Strip is going through the most dire circumstances ever. The famine is back again, even more severely, as 25 bakeries stop completely. This current crisis is unprecedented, as this is the longest time span of closure of the Gazan crossings by the Israeli regime. This in turn has caused the shortage of flour and fuel needed for the bakeries to operate.
The United Nations World Food Programme reported that all bakeries in Gaza have ceased operations due to the acute shortages of flour and fuel. The WFP emphasized that bread, often the only accessible food for many families, is becoming unattainable, warning that famine is a serious risk looming for the Gazan population.
All the bakeries closed today because of the continuing closure of crossings. All what was stored in our warehouses by the WFP have been consumed completely. So here we are now. Without any ingredients, there is no way we can work. We used to consume 250 to 300 tons of flour daily, which was less than the actual amount needed for the population. Now there is no choice for us.
The dire humanitarian crisis is further exacerbated by the continuous Israeli military aggression that not only claims the lives of thousands, but also makes survival for 2.2 million Gazans a struggle.
As the blockade endures, the people of Gaza continue to face an increasingly desperate struggle for survival. with starvation looming as a significant threat. Besides the continuous Israeli aggressive attacks, Ghad Ibrahim, Gaza City.
Over 3 weeks of daily U.S. airstrikes across Yemen have failed to achieve their declared goals of ending the Yemeni blockade against Israeli shipments in the Red Sea. When the Trump administration first launched its military operations, they confidently claimed the strikes would just last a few days. But upon entering the war with Yemen, Trump discovered what many had learned before him. Starting a war in Yemen is easy. Escaping its endless trap is where the real fight begins.
These U.S. airstrikes against innocent Yemenis and against Yemen came with the goal to protect and secure Israel and to stop Yemen from its support for Palestine. They have failed to achieve this main task. The biggest proof for this is that Yemen continues to attack Israel and has even expanded its operations targeting Ben-Gurion Airport and forcing it to close along with attacking more Israeli sites.
And that's because Yemen is constantly developing and manufacturing more advanced weapons at a record speed. According to military experts in Yemen, this accelerated development is baffling American military planners and reshaping battlefield calculations.
Today, Yemen's armed forces have acquired superior military means across the board, weapons that can hit with more precision and hit at greater distances against U.S. targets. This is changing the balance of power in this war in favor of the Yemeni people and the axis of resistance.
As Washington scrambles for answers, Yemen isn't just withstanding the assault, it's rewriting the rules of the battle. According to Yemen's defense minister, the armed forces have made significant progress in developing new weapons, which could soon be used to target additional U.S. positions on both land and sea. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
Controversial remarks by the Israeli envoy have sparked outrage among the Palestinian solidarity community in Austria. Addressing members of the Jewish community on March 20, Ambassador David Roed is heard saying there should be a death sentence for 16-year-old teenagers in Gaza, and if Europe invests in rebuilding Gaza, Israel will have to destroy it the next time. Palestine solidarity activists launched a petition to the Austrian government calling for the expulsion of the diplomat.
In the video, he called for the death penalty for minors in Gaza and emphasized that Israel will continue to destroy Gaza. So he not only defended Israel's genocidal strategy, but even endorsed it. This is unacceptable for an international representative, and therefore he must be recalled.
The remarks have been heavily condemned by Jewish anti-Zionist activists in Austria who have recently launched the Vienna Jewish Anti-Zionist Declaration to strengthen Jewish pro-Palestinian voices in Europe. They criticize the close relationship between the Austrian Prime Minister Christian Stocker and the Israeli ambassador.
There is obviously a very close contact between Stocker and the Israeli embassy in a time where there is a genocide in Gaza, which is unacceptable for us, as Jewish anti-Zionist initiatives, we condemn this strongly, and we will continue to pressure our government to stop all ties with Israel.
Some lawyers and solicitors prepared legal steps in response to the comments made by Roed and those in attendance.
From a legal perspective, it's difficult to do anything because the ambassador is immune. The immunity would have to be lifted to prosecute him, and the government won't do that. The real scandal, however, is that the remarks aren't even being investigated by police.
While there is strong condemnation in the international media, Austrian journalists have been silent about the video.
Activists are outraged over the continued alliance between the genocidal regime in Israel and the Austrian government. In a balanced act of disrespect to the Palestinian community, no Palestinian representatives were invited to the annual iftar hosted in the city hall by the mayor of Vienna last Thursday. While no Palestinian representatives were invited, Israeli representatives attended the event and were seated in the first row. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
over 3 weeks of daily U.S. airstrikes across Yemen have failed to achieve their declared goals of ending the Yemeni blockade against Israeli shipments in the Red Sea. When the Trump administration first launched its military operations, they confidently claimed the strikes would just last a few days. But upon entering the war with Yemen, Trump discovered what many had learned before him. Starting a war in Yemen is easy. Escaping its endless trap is where the real fight begins.
These U.S. airstrikes against innocent Yemenis and against Yemen came with the goal to protect and secure Israel and to stop Yemen from its support for Palestine. They have failed to achieve this main task. The biggest proof for this is that Yemen continues to attack Israel and has even expanded its operations targeting Ben Gurion Airport and forcing it to close along with attacking more Israeli sites.
And that's because Yemen is constantly developing and manufacturing more advanced weapons at a record speed. According to military experts in Yemen, this accelerated development is baffling American military planners and reshaping battlefield calculations.
Today, Yemen's armed forces have acquired superior military means across the board, weapons that can hit with more precision and hit at greater distances against U.S. targets. This is changing the balance of power in this war in favor of the Yemeni people and the axis of resistance.
As Washington scrambles for answers, Yemen isn't just withstanding the assault, it's rewriting the rules of the battle.
According to Yemen's defense minister, the armed forces have made significant progress in developing new weapons, which could soon be used to target additional U.S. positions on both land and sea. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, concern for others. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to A to Z with me, Sister Zainab, on IB English Radio. So, topic is concern for others, and obviously this is a very broad topic, and I'm going to try and narrow it down to particular sorts of, let's say, scenarios maybe, just to make it a bit easier to talk about it. I'm using example of just a particular attitude of one of our famous martyrs, His Eminence the Sayyid. So it's said about him that he was always thinking about other people. So, for example, he'd always be thinking basically about his troops, about the fighters, no matter what he was doing. So, for example, if he was sitting down, and this is sort of the way it was narrated by one of his sons. So he would literally be, if he was eating bread with yogurt, he might be sitting there and literally sort of asking and wondering, I wonder how the fighters are doing. What are they eating? What's their meal? And it's also commented that most likely the fighters were eating a more substantial sort of slightly more special meal than the Sayyid was. And even, for example, when he was making wudu, he'd also be sort of wondering about, oh, what sort of facilities are there for the fighters, for the troops to be able to make their wudu easily enough. And you know, this is a particular way of, this is a particular mindset. So not only, and obviously this mindset is rooted in piety. This is rooted in just basically being the best servant of Allah. And obviously the, and that's for obviously, and I would say that the nafs, these things that we want for ourselves, these desires that we want for ourselves, they sort of have been burnt away almost. And I think this is a terminology maybe some of our scholars use. So we can sort of basically destroy the nafs, that ego that always wants. And I'll talk about this a bit more. But Welcome back. This is A to Z and I being the radio, and obviously I'm talking about concern for others. And I've just used the example of His Eminence the Sayyid, how he was always thinking, always concerned about other people. For example, the troops, the fighters, what they were doing, whether things were easy for them. And obviously this is the idea. We can do this when we've sort of defeated our ego. Because while we're still caught up in what our ego wants, or maybe our ego just wants to have this nice meal, or maybe our ego is saying to us, oh, go out and buy this thing, please, I want this thing. And you can imagine, if you just think about it logically, any time that we are thinking about something that we want, that's not, there is time that we can't be busy thinking about others, and we also can't be busy thinking about Allah. Now, obviously, everything, in a sense, Allah doesn't need us anyway. Allah's in no need. But obviously, one way of serving Allah for us as human beings is to serve the others, serve humanity, serve the Ummah, serve the fellow believers. So having this constant concern for others is, in a sense, a very good manifestation, a great example of how we can achieve this. And obviously, this is, it's not just this, so it's not just this idea of defeating the ego. Obviously, we have a sort of level of empathy and kindness and obviously concern for brotherhood, sisterhood, that is obviously exemplary. So this sort of selflessness is something that, you know, maybe we can even develop as a habit in ourselves, those of us who are not at that high level. And for sure, because we know, look, if we maybe just make it a habit of ours every day, to just consciously, and even though maybe we're doing lots of dhikr of Allah, but maybe if every day we can also train ourselves to think about maybe some of the people in our family, you know, what are they doing, what are they in need of, and do that day by day, and maybe that can become more of a trait in us too, inshallah. So I pray that you gain some extra points or insights from today, and look forward to welcoming you to another episode of A to Z here on I Being This Radio, and feel well for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
The Zionist regime is committing yet another war crime against Palestinians in Gaza, but the Western news coverage distorts reality, downplaying its atrocities through omission and spin. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, a ceasefire does not mean that Israel has dropped its goal to annihilate Gaza. The mission remains the same, and the war crimes endure, including killings. The method just shifts. Now, the textbook starvation of the enclave is the weapon of choice. But the British public will not be privy to such details, not if they rely on the mainstream media to report them accurately. In early March, as the first phase of the ceasefire was ending and the full withdrawal of the Zionist regime's forces from Gaza was supposed to take place, the Zionist regime decided to block all aid from entering the territory. The media reported it, but characteristically thinned out the details. Israel is stopping all aid into Gaza, reported the Sky News. Israel blocks entry of all humanitarian aid into Gaza, read the online BBC headline.